When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey Redcasters, be sure to subscribe to our channel and ring the bell to be notified about our latest videos. Go Big Red.
Welcome to the Go Big Redcast, the Husker Fan Sports Show.
Welcome to the Go Big Redcast. I'm your host, David Gaspers, and I'm with Boomer.
Well, welcome again to the Go Big Redcast, the Husker fan podcast, who's guaranteed to take a knee when we're winning by the end of the show.
Thank goodness. We have that coach on our side. Apparently Miami does not. We'll talk about that a little bit. What an insane end of game. Also with Talon, the Redcast Strong.
How are you guys doing today? Happy to be here.
That's it? That's it, Talon? You're just happy?
Yeah, I'm just happy. We got the win on Friday, you know, so we're building right now. So building blocks.
That's right. Absolutely. All right, guys. Well, we got a little bit of an abbreviated show. I think Honky's taken the week off. Well earned. Man was producing like three shows a week for months, it felt like. So he's kicking back and relaxing. Rob did a great show last night with Chancellor Brewington, former Nebraska H-back. Tight end, whatever he was playing there, and I think he had Abby something on with him too, didn't he, Boomer? So that's awesome.
Correct.
Yeah, I'll get him. Yeah, we're just always expanding the Redcast net, obviously. So we'll talk a little Husker football, just what we thought of Friday night's victory against the Fighting Illini, and what the team needs to do over the bye week here, getting ready for Northwestern and. Hopefully, as Honky always wants, a kind of a win streak so we get some momentum and maybe we can start talking about bowl trips at some point. But then we'll break down this week's games. A lot of good stuff out there, a lot of good games, ranked versus ranked. Should be fun. All right, so let's talk all things Husker football with scarlet colored glasses. And a 20-7 victory. It was not pretty. I think I texted. Both you guys probably on Friday night saying it was massively frustrating, but a victory all the same. And I think a lot of people had that same feeling, you know, with how many turnovers in the fourth quarter inside the 20 and how many times we had a chance to kind of put the nail in the coffin there against a really struggling Fighting Illini team. But Boomer, a win's a win. I think Tom Chattel really called it in his article a couple days ago where like, don't apologize for winning. Right. And you know what? We won.
Yeah, that's probably the best thing to take away from this. I can't remember which program it was that would always put that in their weekly, you know, release for the press. A win is always better than a loss, and it is.
Yes.
I mean, and that's what you have to take in this case. I mean, this is
Miami.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, we're not at the point where you can sit there and just – we're not at the point as a program, as a team, where you can just sit there and afford to criticize every last little bits of a game, you know, in a win, you know, like you might have done, you know, decades ago. It's just that's not what we are, and that's not where we're at as a program. So,
yeah,
you know, take those wins for what they are, and the program itself, you know, will learn hopefully as the season goes on, and that's all you can do. I mean, you know, we make fun of Iowa a lot, but they win ugly, but they win, and, you know, that matters. I mean, would you –
And they don't apologize for it.
Running the way Iowa does right now? Probably. So,
yeah.
Yeah, just take what it is. There's things you can criticize, and that's, you know, that's fair. But that's what, you know, teams that are growing or kind of where we're at. And seems like the entire Big Ten West is at right now. That's just what it's going to be for the rest of the season. So,
yeah.
If you don't like it, buckle up, I guess, folks. You know,
if you compare, Talon, if you compare Friday night's victory versus Illinois versus our loss versus Minnesota, there's some similarities there in the sense that we had multiple turnovers in the fourth quarter that gave life to the other team. Difference was that Minnesota was able to capitalize on it finally. And And the reality is that against Illinois, you know, the defense shut them down, right? And so do you think that's growth on the side of Nebraska, or are they learning how to win?
Yeah, no, I think that's a big, big thing with it is I think you also look at, like, we had a missed field goal against Minnesota in that first game, and in this game he makes two of them. So, I mean, it's just little details. We only create one turnover against Minnesota. We create two against Illinois. We get the kickoff that bounces our way. There's just a lot of things that don't.
And capitalized on it. Yeah.
Yeah. And there's just a lot of things, I think, that happened in the Illinois game that, you know, there's a lot of games that, you know, last 6 years where we lose the turnover battle and it looks ugly and we lose probably 95% of those games. So I think it is great that we can actually win one of those ugly games for a change. And I think it's nice that we get this bye week to kind of build off it, get healthy. Yeah, it was just, I think there's a lot of growth that comes with that game against Illinois.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, Boomer, I'm shocked to learn. I just, like, sometimes you just want to forget past seasons, especially the last 6 years. But I was reminded this week we were 3-3 the last two seasons. Is that right? I think we were 3-3 going into that.
That sounds right. Yeah. I would think that would be correct. Yeah.
And then last year we got to 3-3, and I can't remember who it was. But then, I mean, like, you know, in both instances went on significant losing streaks there. It just feels different this year, though, for some reason. I don't know. Maybe it's because of the coaching staff. Maybe it's because of the schedule, right? We do have this opportunity here. You have Northwestern at home after a bye, and you've got Purdue. Purdue's playing better than expected. Nothing is given here, but it's an opportunity. It's not like they are significantly better than you by any means. That might be a really defensive-minded game there. Yes. And then you get Michigan State, who by that point might be completely checked out up in East Lansing, because, I mean, they'll be what might be 3-5 at that time or whatever, right? So do you feel different? Is it not the same as past years with this 3-3?
I think you probably hit the nail on the head with that. I mean, you do have that fresh sense that it's a new staff, and you kind of have that runway, you know, like we've talked about, you know, with prior staffs. I mean, some of them seem to have 4 or 5 year runways and never did manage to get off the ground. But you know, this year they've got the time. I think most fans understand that. And in all honesty, the schedule is weak. I mean,
yeah,
they're gonna be rebuilding a team and, you know, trying new things and suffering the injuries we've had and have to kind of piece things together with duct tape and chewing gum, this is the schedule to do it on. Because, I mean, even like last year, I think when we were 3-3, what did we have left? Illinois was good last year.
Yeah.
They were ranked. Right. We had Michigan coming up, and, you know, yeah, I think you still had to end with Minnesota, Wisconsin, and Iowa, I think, if I remember last year's schedule.
You got it.
So much more intimidating than what we have in front of us right now. I mean, not saying every one of these games is a guaranteed win. I mean,
no.
You could lose every one of these games. You could win every one of these games at this point. And, you know, it's,
I think Matt Rhule said the same thing.
Yeah. Right, so there's nothing,
it's the truth.
Nothing for sure here, which kind of at least adds a bit of zest to watching these games, which otherwise might seem terrible. So,
yeah. I mean, I think the critical thing is to win a couple of these next three, and then it'll be really interesting if you can just, you know, can you get to 6 right away, or do you have to find an upset there? Talon, the question is the team going to be intact enough to get to 6 wins, right? The injuries have stacked up. Marcus Washington, now his ACL is out. There's just not that many bodies left. We're going to see some young wide receivers out there, but I mean, if you're going to do that, this is the time of the bye week, right?
Yeah, it'd have to be. And I think it's kind of nice to actually get these young guys in playing now. I mean, I think all year we've been playing a ton of different young guys on the defense. So I think,
yeah, that's a good point.
Rhule is just, I think this is a really good year that if we can get a ton of experience for these guys and win, you know, get to a bowl game, get that extra practice time, get an extra game in, I think that's going to be huge to even rebuild this program for the next season.
And I just think it's great that we've got a lot of guys with some 8-man football experience, because we might be playing that by the way this season's going by the end. So with the injuries. So.
Yeah, we just,
that's right.
Can't catch a break.
That's right. I mean, you know, guard eligible football is always what I'm looking for. And yeah, I mean, it's something. I think if they could do this, if they can put this together, I mean, we're not going to have one pretty win. Let's just be honest about that. We, I think the problem with some of these expectations, Rob had an interesting text on, I think it was on Saturday morning, and he was like, it's almost unhealthy that this fan base can't just like enjoy a win, right? You know, and I think some of that comes from this like longstanding entitlement of being a blue blood and just expecting more, right? Even when you shouldn't, right? But the reality is we just got to figure out how to get the 6 wins, get more bowl practices, talent point, build the program finally by starting to be able to be, extending our season essentially. And this is the year, right? I mean, I just feel like you've got a shot here to build some momentum. It was even with these injuries. And if the coaching staff can pull it off, even if it's just by winning 20-7, that's going to be a good coaching job. That's the reality of it.
Yeah, absolutely. I might even put you up for a Big Ten coach of the year if you can scrape something together out of that. You know, I mean, somebody has to be, right? I mean, And I think, like you said, Dave, I think you do want to get these 3 wins, you know, the 3 additional wins as quick as possible, ideally right now. Yep. I'd hate to have to go into, you know, those last 3 games trying to try to win 2 of those. Yeah, that would be tough, and I wouldn't want to guarantee that. But
knowing our fan base, that you win these next 3, we get 6-3, they'll have unreal expectations for the last 3.
Right? Well, yes, but we'll play it by game by game. So, but so, hey, just winning 3 games in a row would be an accomplishment for this team. So that hasn't happened since has to be Riley, 2016. Doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean, there's the 2016 when they went 7-0.
Yeah, boy, it's been a while.
So, it's insane, right? We haven't stacked wins on each other in a long, long time. Any takes on the quarterback situation? You sense that Harburg's the guy? Will they try to work Sims back in only in emergency situation? What do you think?
Go ahead.
I think at this point Harburg's the guy unless he just comes into practice and doesn't, you know, work hard. He's throwing bad turnovers. I would assume he's the guy. I don't necessarily know if there's still. I think there's belief in Sims, but I think with how Harburg's played these 4 starts, I mean, how can you necessarily look at that and go, "Oh, he's gone 3-1. Let's take him out." You know, and he hasn't looked bad in any of them. I think the Michigan game, everyone looked bad, so that's kind of an asterisk by it. No one necessarily looked any good. You know, he's not the greatest passer, but he's going to continue to work on it. He's going to get better. I don't think he's hit his ceiling.
You know, he has a strong arm. Yeah, he needs.
Yeah.
So I think
assume he's the guy.
Yep.
Yeah, that would make sense. I mean, it wouldn't shock me if we saw some coming out of this bye week playing against Northwestern. You know, if he's healthy, the coaches just might want to get him back out there just to get some reps in just in case something would happen, you know, down the line.
Knock the rust off. Yeah.
Yeah, so it wouldn't be a terrible idea. And ideally, yeah, you'd like to think we could push Northwestern the same way Howard did, you know, so we ought to be able to – to hopefully win that game quasi-comfortably, so you might have that more opportunities to do something like that. But, yeah, right now I think you're probably just going to see Harburg starting for the rest of the season unless something, like, you know, Talon said, was horribly awry, or the turnover bug bites him. You know, he has been flirting with a lot of turnovers, but luckily, you know, for some reason he seems to be getting him bouncing his way for the most part. Yeah. So that might be another reason, you know, if that worm turned on us again, so which has in the past, so.
Yeah. I mean, the turnovers, I mean, he could have thrown almost 3 in a row, it felt, there at the end of the first half. And, I mean, Satterfield needs to put him in better spots there. I don't know what was going on there. Were they seen if they had something where he could, you know, react under that pressure? But it didn't look good. And it's far better when it's run first and throw second. So, yeah, that was a little scary. You know, I was just thinking Northwestern has got to have – obviously one of the weirdest seasons of all time, considering they lost their head coach, you know, getting fired a few weeks before the season starts. But I mean, so they came back and beat Minnesota
and they were
by
down.
Scoring. Yeah. 3 touchdowns in the 4th quarter and then winning in overtime. And then they are tied at Penn State at a half and then get blown out. It was a home game there. They get blown out in the second half, but they're tied. So for like 6 quarters, or at least the 4th quarter of Minnesota and the first 2 of Penn State, suddenly they looked somewhat decent. Then they get blown out. Then this week they're up, I think, by a couple scores against Howard, which is this, you know, an FCS school. And then let's Howard come back in the 4th quarter and only lose by 3. What a weird, weird season, huh? I mean, wow.
It's, you know, kind of an apotheosis of the Big Ten West, really. I mean, might as well just
That's fair. Everything
weird piled onto each other. Yeah, just what the hell. Fair. In a,
all right, well, let's make sure that maybe this one will be weird because we'll just blow them out and we'll be good to go, right?
I don't know. The last time we blew out, question, it didn't end well the rest of the season. So,
our Redcast Rob listening in here says that Harburg will go 10-1 as the starter, be given the key to the city, entire state of Nebraska. Okay, Rob. Sounds good.
Do we have a key for the state? I don't know. Maybe we need one.
I don't know. If we did, I'd lock the door and I'd let Rob back in. Just joking. I'm kidding you, Rob. I'm kidding you. You're always welcome in the state. All right, guys. Anything else on the Huskers before we turn our attention to college football's best games of the week?
Nope. All right.
The BetCast Picks of the Week.
All right, guys. We are looking at our best bets of the week. Got some games here lined up we can talk about. Good slate again. Last week was also entertaining. Let's start with a classic SEC rivalry here, Boomer. The Aggies of Texas A&M going into Tennessee to take on the Volunteers. Josh Heupel's crew favored by 3. Do you think that's justified?
Yeah, I've had a tough time picking this one. I think the home field probably does help Tennessee in this one. I don't have a good sense for either of them at this point. They've kind of both disappointed me when I have, you know, put anything on them so far this season.
I don't like either quarterback right now.
No,
Colin, right?
I don't either at this point. Yeah.
Joe Milton, Max Johnson, I don't know who to take there.
No. I mean, A&M did play Alabama reasonably close, so they had, you know, they had chances in that game and could have possibly won, but yeah, I don't know. It's just I'd lean towards Tennessee simply because they're at home. That would be it. So nothing more clever or in depth than that. So
yeah.
Talon? I don't have to agree with Boomer just because Tennessee's home. But I think Texas A&M's defense is gonna come out. They're gonna play tough. I think they have one of the most talented rosters in the entire country. They just don't know how to use it. I mean, they get 4 and 5 stars every way you look at it, and they just can't ever put together a good season. I don't know if that's just Jimbo Fisher not being, you know, an effective coach anymore, or if they just too high before the season. I don't know. But, yeah, I would definitely take Tennessee in this game. Just being at home, I think Joe Milton can kind of open that defense up just on the long ball. I think they got a ton of speed at receiver, so I like the –
All right. I don't know. I might be the contrarian here. I might go with A&M. I know they're on the road, but – I think Talon, I make a good point. I think if you look at what's the best group on the field here, it's probably the A&M defense. But I'd imagine this is going to be a tight game. We'll see. All right, let's move out west and look at one of the premier matchups of the season and an important one here in the Pac-12. You know what, Boomer? I got to mention this. Last week, the Pac-12 network had like 3 or 4 like really good games on it. I think it was
and like 8 people like, in the country could watch them, you know. Yeah,
it's unbelievable that people wonder why that in the year of their demise they have this season where they have so many good teams and they had so many games on last Saturday. It's just nuts.
Yeah, that nobody could see. So that explains why the Pac-12's imploding.
It was the first time I actually wanted to have the Pac-12 network and it didn't happen
and nobody had it.
Well, the Ducks visit the Dogs up in Seattle. Huskies favored by 3. Kalen DeBoer's got that offense humming with Michael Penix Jr. and a bunch of really good wideouts. Oregon might be a little bit more of a complete team. Talon, what do you think?
I'm taking Oregon. I'm very high on Oregon. I love Bo Nix. I love that defense. They got skill position players every way, every which way, and you want to look at it. I think Oregon's the better team. They always seem to have really good teams each and every year, and they win the big games, but they always lose that one game. It's like, well, come on. You know, they always lose to some unranked team that doesn't have anything going for them. So I'm going to take Oregon. This is a big rivalry game, but I think Oregon goes into Washington and gets the job done.
Yeah, absolutely. Boomer?
I'm going to go with Washington. You know, when they're home, I think they've, you know, Oregon's games have all been remarkably easy. You know, some of that may be just, you know, Oregon skilled and good. But they haven't really, I don't think, been tested by anyone yet this season. You know, Washington didn't play particularly well against Arizona, you know, a couple of weeks ago. So I think they might have had more of a wake-up call and know they're going to be in fights for some of these games. So I think they just might have that slight bit of edge, just, you know, having struggled a little bit in a game where Oregon hasn't had to do that. So if Oregon gets punched in the mouth, how are they going to respond? So I think that that'll give Washington a slight edge here.
All right. Yeah. I think it's going to be a good, really good game. This is not on the Pac-12 network, thank goodness. And we'll go a long way to decide who's going to be playing in Las Vegas as one of the representatives of the Pac-12 championship game. Yeah, we're going to find out. It should be loud there in Seattle, no doubt about it. All right, well, one with probably less explosive plays will be one closer to our backyard, where this might determine the Big Ten. First to 10 wins, Iowa at Wisconsin. Badgers favored by 10. I think I've seen that slip back down to 9.5 maybe. Boy, I mean, that, 10 points, I mean, I don't know. That's a lot considering this game may not score 20 total. What do you think, Talon?
So I'm going to take Wisconsin to win, but Iowa's going to cover. I just don't see Wisconsin being able to put up that many points where they went up. Win by 10. I think Iowa's defense can kind of control the defensive line. I like Wisconsin running back, but I just think it's going to be a really tight game where it's like a game-winning field goal wins it for Wisconsin at the end of the game.
Yeah, Wisconsin number one rushing team in the Big Ten. Iowa's like 12th actually, but they just don't have any offense. Boomer, what are you thinking?
Yeah, 10 points seems like a lot. I think what I'd more interested in, what's the over-under on this, Dave, currently? Last time I
it's
saw it,
it's down to 34.5 is what last time I saw it.
You know, I might take the over on that, to be totally honest with you. I think both these teams will somehow, it might not be on offense, but I think they'll both claw their way to 20-some points. Yeah, I think you might see this be a, you know, 23-20 type game. You know, somebody kind of claws that out in the end. Certainly not going to, you know, compared to Oregon, you know, Washington. That'll be a fun dichotomy of two different games and two different styles to watch, which are all going to mesh together next year. So that should be entertaining to kind of see everyone's futures right here. So,
Yeah, that's right. I mean, that would be two Big Ten games in a row here. Now, Oregon and Washington, they don't play for anything. Is that right, Boomer?
I don't know if they do. I'll have to double check. So
it's kind of surprising.
Nothing springs to mind, but yeah.
But Iowa and Wisconsin play for what? They have a trophy.
Yeah, the Brass Bowl or a Golden Bowl or something like that, if I remember right. So
yeah, like the Heartland Trophy.
Yeah, the Heartland Trophy or something to that effect. Yeah.
Which I'd rather just call the Brass Bowl. That sounds way cooler.
Yeah, that's way more interesting. Well, it's kind of like our Legends and Leaders trophies. Nobody knows what those are either. So, you know.
But. Yeah, that's very true. The Land Grant Trophy, always my favorite. This is interesting. I mean, Wisconsin has really rounded into form a little bit more the last month here after losing to Washington State and really falling flat out there. Malusi is out, I think, their running back, but Allen, obviously, their number one running back, is there. They are running the ball. I don't know how well they're going to do against that Iowa defense. I think Talon's right. I think Wisconsin wins this game. Iowa probably covers. And I think 34.5 is awfully low. So I'm thinking Boomer might be right, but boy, I'm probably going to avoid it because it's just so hard to take an over in an Iowa game.
It is, but yeah, have some fun, live a little.
Live a little. All right. Well, Boomer, I put this one on just for you because I know you and I both like just talk about trophy games, and this is always a interesting one. UNLV at Nevada, going up to Reno. Nevada is home dogs, 9.5 points. These teams play for the Fremont Cannon, I believe.
Correct. Yes, named after.
You have any idea about UNLV? And Nevada's 0-5, but they have been covering like mad. So can they cover the 9.5 is the question.
I have no idea on this game. I haven't watched either, like you said. I mean, if you're 0-5 but covering, I mean,
they're scrappy.
As UNLV, what have they done this year? Any idea?
No, not very good. No.
So that's one I would definitely shy away from for lack of research or lack of watching any of them. So But
all right, well, I presume it's a late night game. I don't know when this is, but Talon, you have any take on this Silver State matchup?
Let's go with UNLV. You know,
all right.
I don't have any idea. I think I watched the Nevada game. They played Fresno State. It looked ugly.
And they covered.
They did cover, but they look atrocious on offense. It looks bad.
Yes, they do.
But it's a rivalry game. You got to throw all those records out. So,
right. And Canada might be shot off. I mean, you got to be careful over there.
I think they're actually trying to get a real cannon, though. The one they currently have is a fake one. So
it's not. It doesn't fire. Well,
I don't believe so. Really. But I think they're actually trying to get a real one. So
that'll
add some zest to it as well. Yeah.
All right. Well, I don't think this SEC matchup has a trophy associated with it yet, but Mizzou coming off a stinging loss there against LSU, where they really could have had that game against Kentucky. Not in a stinging loss. They got routed by Georgia, got put into their proper place. Kentucky's still giving 2.5 points away to Mizzou. I like the Tigers here, but I mean, I don't know. What do you think? Boomer?
Yeah, I'd kind of agree with you on that, too. I mean, this is a game to see which team can rebound from, you know, two different styles of bad losses, that last-minute heartbreak and just getting curb stomped. But from what I've seen, I like Missouri. I think they're just more capable, you know, for four quarters of play. I like what I've seen out of them. And, you know, Kentucky, you know, maybe your fans can throw some money on this game so you guys can hire some better players or, you know, where your coach suggested, you know, buy some better players for it. Just, I don't know, just some thought if any Wildcat fans are out there.
Oh yeah, Mark Stoops and his NLI comments, those are good. Talon, what do you think here?
I'm gonna take Missouri. I was completely wrong about Kentucky playing Georgia. I thought Kentucky was gonna play Georgia close, and they got routed from the jump. So
yeah,
I feel like Georgia does that every year, though. They kind of mess with you for the first four games, and then they get kind of talked bad on, and then they're like, oh, we'll turn it on for this game, and then just go and absolutely rout some ranked opponent. So I was completely wrong on that, but I'll take Missouri. I like Brady Cook. I think he's a good quarterback. So, and
yeah.
Devin
is
falling off a cliff. I mean, he can't hit an open receiver down the field to save his life.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's his injury. He's never – I don't think he's fully healed somehow, right? He's like, his mechanics have been messed up, it feels like. So.
That's accurate quarterbacks in the country 2 years ago when he was at NC State and just cannot find it now. It's absolutely absurd what's happened to the guy.
Yeah. One of those transfers that just doesn't look like it's going to really pan out for either side. I have no idea what that feels like. All right, let's talk about USC Notre Dame. Notre Dame's already played 7 games. It feels like outside of them curb stomping Navy in Ireland, every week is just it's an absolute gauntlet they've gone through. And last week it caught up to them for their second loss of the season against Louisville, where they just did not have it. Now USC comes into town. This is our first of the games of a bad clock or game management where the Trojans ultimately won 43-41 last late Saturday night in triple overtime, I believe, versus Arizona, but easily could have lost that and really should have been able to score a go-ahead touchdown and in regulation. Kind of screwed around, didn't execute a couple plays. It seemed like they were open to score, and then got a timeout called on the first field goal that would have won them the game. And the second one, they had a bad snap, and then they went into overtime. And you're just like, oh, my goodness. Talk about lack of execution, Boomer, on special teams. Do you think the Trojans will just score too many points for the Irish here, or do you think Notre Dame bounces back?
Yeah, this is a tough one. I mean, both these teams, for the last 3 weeks, essentially, they've just kind of been playing with fire in all their games. And it's bit Notre Dame, you know, several times, losing to Ohio State, and they just didn't have anything against Louisville. They just didn't seem to be able to compete or, you know, score to keep up with that. And USC, I mean, gosh, week in, week out, it's, you know, Arizona State, they didn't look great. Colorado, they let them back in that game and could have, you know, that could have been trouble. And, geez, that game against Arizona. But I think USC will just be capable of scoring a few too many points. Then the Notre Dame will be able to keep up with. And plus, if you're Notre Dame, you know, you got to be a little down now that – realistically, your chance at a playoff is gone. I mean, with that loss to Louisville, I mean, you're not getting back in with that now. So, yeah, we'll just see how emotionally ready, you know, our Notre Dame is for this game. So maybe USC will wake up a little bit and play a little better defense. I don't have a lot of faith in their defense, but I'm not convinced Notre Dame will score enough to keep up in the long run. So.
Yeah, I mean, Notre Dame's offense has really been anemic for most of the season here. But if you can get right on against any defense, it is the USC defense because they don't seem to put up a fight. Talon, what are you thinking?
Yeah, I'm going to take USC. I think Caleb Williams is just going to be too good for Notre Dame. I think
best player on the field wins, huh?
Yeah. Well, I think USC is going to lose to probably Oregon and Washington this year. I think they're the third or fourth best in the Pac-12, but I think Notre Dame's offense and Sam Hartman looked awful against Louisville. I think he threw three picks and maybe a fourth late. Hasn't lived up to what they were kind of expecting him to be coming into this season. So I would take USC just because I think they're going to be able to put up 35, and Notre Dame's just not going to be able to keep up with that pace.
Yeah, no, that's fair. Maybe you're gambling on this. You might take the USC team total to be on the safe side. I think you're guaranteed they're going to put some points up.
Yeah, that offense is they're too good. They're just that. Caleb Williams is an absolute freak. He's going to be the number one pick in the draft. He's just that good. So.
Yeah, and he doesn't have the surrounding cast with him. He doesn't have a really great running back. The wide receiver core is not the same. He really is scrambling and have to kind of like just making stuff up, but he's still that good.
That line isn't very good, so he's kind of just making plays up as he goes. And you know, it's pretty easy to get a guy open downfield after you've been running around the field for 5 seconds.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Yeah. All right. Well, a couple more here, and we'll get out of here. This is one that will be fun to talk about. Boomer, can you walk me through the sequence of events, how Miami lost that game last week to Georgia Tech?
Yeah, as long as I don't fumble trying to do it. But it's – I guess I'd forgotten Cristobal has done this before, and I guess it's just kind of his thing to not
at kneel, Oregon.
But holy crap, I remember, you know, tweeting – while I was watching this happen, is what the hell are you doing, Miami? I mean, good God, you're up. I can't remember how many points they were up. What was it, four?
Something they're like up three, that. I think, 20-17. Everyone,
yeah, said. And they had no timeouts, and the game is won. All you have to do is
you kneel
formation, kneel, all you do. Nothing else.
Yep.
And they decide to run it, and unfortunately, fumbles. The ball is called a fumble on the field, and there wasn't really enough to overturn it. If you're a Miami fan, you're convinced the ACC is out to get you. I saw that all over the message boards.
I'm sure.
But it's just, I haven't seen anything like that in person since I was a kid watching Texas playoff football. That happened once, and I remember that happening. But that was, you know, high school, you know, coaches. And I would have liked to have thought somebody in the Miami staff would have known better or would have said something, or, hey, coach, maybe we should just take a knee. I mean, yeah. I have no particular love for the Hurricanes, but geez, I felt bad for that one player on the sideline. They showed, you know, after that, you know, kind of
he mouthed
some things that, yeah, that I completely understand. I had no idea what the heck they were doing either, and I'll bottlerize that for the listeners there. But yeah, if you're a lip reader, you said something else. So, but yeah, it was insane. But
I mean, before we get to handicapping their game this week, I think it's also it's extraordinary to me the Georgia Tech. I think I want to say they might have been almost three touchdown dogs in that game.
I think so. Yeah,
and they win. They only had like a couple hundred yards of offense, but Miami. I mean, Tyler Van Dyke threw three INTs. Miami didn't look that good in that game.
No, they didn't.
Just had figured out how enough to win, and then they go ahead and just give it away essentially, right?
Yeah, and even after the fumble, they still had a chance on defense. They gave two straight pass plays just back to back and.
Yeah, one guy
wide open
for a
too,
touchdown. I mean,
they might have been maybe they were in the locker room already showering and didn't realize they needed to come back out. There's no way we'll be needed again. But
yeah. I mean, tackle the guy and create a field goal situation, right? You can go to overtime and whatnot. I don't know. But the crazy thing is Georgia Tech the previous week are three touchdown favorites at home versus Bowling Green, a horrible MAC team. And they actually they lose by 11. I mean, it's like, That just, I mean, none of it computes, right? You're like, well, what in the heck happened that Georgia Tech can lose to Bowling Green at home by double digits and then go down to Miami and win as a three touchdown dog, essentially. It's just
so Bowling Green to the ACC
is amazing, isn't it?
It is. Yeah, it's a crazy sport. It's the transitive properties never quite work themselves out. But yeah, that's half the fun.
Well, what does that tell you? Go ahead, Tom.
Those trap games are just tough.
Yeah. Well, we better be careful then. What do you think any of that tells you about Miami going up to Chapel Hill and Drake May and the Tar Heels are favored by 3.5 versus Mario's a bunch? What do you think, Boomer?
I think I'd go North Carolina on this one. They look pretty solid this year, and I think Miami's mm-hmm. being some disarray after that loss. I mean, that's still got a sting, and yeah, that's
maybe they practiced on Sunday night. I don't know.
Yeah, good question. But yeah, I mean, that's got to put some questions in any of those players. There's what the hell are my coaches thinking, and is this the right thing to do? They might be just a little hesitant, and UNC can score, and I think that's a good opportunity for the Tar Heels to get a big ACC win.
Yeah, should be a good one. Talon?
Yeah, I'll take North Carolina. I like what Boomer said. I think this is going to be a very – how do you get back into, you know, this game when you just took that loss like that? You fumble it on with 20 seconds left, and then you let, you know, this huge touchdown go. How do you come into Chapel Hill and play one of the best quarterbacks in the country and expect to win when your coaches, you know, call plays like that? So I'll take North Carolina. I think North Carolina is a top 10 team in the country. They are that good. Drake May is that good. They get their receiver back from the eligibility issue. And they're actually a really physical ball team, which I was kind of surprised about coming into this year. You know, last year that was their big downfall, was they had no physicality on the offense.
Their defense was a mess last year, yeah.
And they've come in, they've rectified it. I think Mac Brown, you know, even though he's 95 years old, he's still figuring it out. So I would take North Carolina. And I
think an ageist, Talon, all right?
Hey, great coach. I think it's almost time to hang him up. You know, I mean, how long?
Well, maybe this is the year where if you can put together a really great run here. I mean, maybe the ACC is for the taking, and maybe he can make a run to the playoff. Maybe our good friend Brent Cianci was just a year or two off from this North Carolina run into the playoff, I guess. I don't know. But this will go a long way if they can take care of business here against Miami coming into Chapel Hill. All right, guys, let's get out of here with one more late night game here. And the Bruins of UCLA coming off a nice little comeback win versus Washington State, taking care of business. They're really bottling up Cam Ward, going into Corvallis and the Beaver's Den, Oregon State, 3.5-point favorites. Oregon State, still scrapping here. UCLA, finding ways to win games. Who's going to do it this week? Talon?
I think it's going to be a really defensive matchup. I think I'm going to give it to UCLA in this game. I think they can come in off the hype that they just shut down a really prolific offense in Washington State, who actually beat Oregon State earlier on in the year. I don't think DJ is going to look all that great in this game. So I'm going to take UCLA to win out this game.
All right. Boomer, what do you think? I see an over-under of 54. That could be a tempting under.
Yeah, that's. I think I might go that route if I was going to bet on this game. This is a tough one. I mean, this is a example of who do you trust more, a decent offense or a good defense? I mean, UCLA of all teams is playing top-notch defense, especially in the Pac-12. I mean, they're not allowing a whole lot of yards per game. They're not allowing a whole lot of, you know, opponent scoring. So it really just kind of depends how much faith you have in them being able to keep that up and be able to score. And Oregon State, are they going to be able to, you know, move the ball on them? That's a tough one. But I would probably take the under if I was going to bet that game. I'd go that route. If I'm picking the game itself, let's just go Oregon State. I don't know if UCLA will be able to score quite enough to win the game. They might be able to cover, but let's just go with the Beavers if I had to bet.
All right. Yeah, no, I hear you. I'm not for certain as this might be Pac-12 Network, which I'll be pissed off about again, but let's see here really quick. No, this is actually a Fox, 7 o'clock Central Time, so should be a bit of a madhouse out there in Corvallis, I would imagine. So it should be fun to watch at Riser Stadium. All right, guys. Any other games that you want to chat about? You ready for some parting shots?
maybe the Alabama-Arkansas game.
I think Alabama's okay. Yeah.
20 at home. I think Arkansas can cover that.
Okay. Just don't have enough faith in that Alabama offense to give that much separation, huh?
Yeah, I think they're a good team. I think Jalen Milroe's figuring it out. But I think
three for 300 yards finally. Yeah.
Yeah, I think Arkansas's quarterback can just keep him in games. KJ Jefferson, you know, run.
Yep.
He can just kind of bleed out some clock and you know, keep them in that football game. So I would take, I don't think they're a 20-point, you know, 20 points better than Arkansas by any means.
Okay. All right. All right. All right. Yeah. Boomer, you got anything on your sheet?
No, I think I've covered most of them. So that was good.
All right. All right. Well, let's fire off some parting shots. All right. Parting shots. We will start with you, Boomer.
Okay. Well, I don't have a whole lot. You know, it's a bye week, so everyone can kind of relax and just enjoy football. It's kind of like winning on a Friday, so you don't have to have any stress that entire Saturday. You can just kind of
two Saturdays off, man.
Yeah. It's kind of nice. So, yeah. If you want to spend some time with those weird people that live in your house, I think they call them family or something like that on a Saturday, go ahead and do that. Or, you know, maybe check out some of the other Husker sports that are, you know, starting. I think softball, I think, starts playing this week. I think they've got some games. You know, if you want to go that route, there's a lot of other Husker opportunities out there. So take advantage of those too.
Yeah. Awesome. All right. Talon.
I think this is a well-needed bye week. We're going to get some guys healthy. I think we'll come out of it looking really strong. I think we'll beat Northwestern. And then I did want to bring this up. I called the Oklahoma beating Texas last week. So I just wanted to kind of put that out there.
Yeah. Good job.
They got the job done. So just wanted to.
They did.
Horns down. All I got to say.
Yeah. That was a great game. And one where Texas really felt like they could have really been a little more aggressive there. They settle for a field goal and really comes back to bite them. With Dylan Gabriel just orchestrating a really quick drive. I looked away for a minute and they were already inside the 20. It felt like like, oh boy. And Texas is going to regret that, but Oklahoma, great win for Venables, and you know, we'll see how far he can take them, but it seems like that's going to be a Oklahoma Texas Big 12 championship game that
there ain't
anything else. Brett, your remark will want to forget. All right, guys. Fun show. Enjoy that we just get to do this and not have you know, all those other guys ruining our vibe. I think we got some good picks out there. Hopefully, everyone else enjoyed it. For now, let's call that a Go Big Redcast.
Heard at Sports Network Production.